You are listening to the It's Not Real Magic podcast. This episode was recorded June 21st, 2025, and published July 5th, 2025. Welcome to the It's Not Real Magic podcast. The question of the day is, what is the superior French fry shape? I'm Kevin, and the superior French fry shape is waffle fries.
I'm Ray. The superior French fry shape is shoestring.
I'm Alexander. I don't completely understand or appreciate the question, so I'm going to say curly.
I'm Lucas, and because I'm the provocateur, I'm going to say tater tots.
I'm Jacob, and I'm going to go with the waffle fry.
There we go. See, we finally have somebody who knows what they're talking about on this podcast.
But the reason I picked shoestring is because if you go to Steak and Shake, they do their shoestrings so good. You can eat a plate of those. Because shoestrings you can over fry, but they do them so they're just right. And it's like, oh, so good.
But they're so difficult to eat.
Yeah. It feels like you need to
eat it with a fork.
Yeah.
Or you just like,
oh, yeah.
Or grab a handful everywhere. It's like,
how do you get the ketchup on the fry?
What ketchup?
You're at a Steak and Shake. What do you need ketchup for?
Dipping them in a shake?
You're at Steak and Shake. You have a shake.
You just scoop.
What are you doing at Steak and Shake and not getting a shake?
Eating shoestring French fries, apparently.
I think he's saying you dip them in your shake.
How do you dip them when they are a like hash brown stack of...
You just dump them in and put them in your face.
I did not pick shoestring fry, but if I were in the situation where I had shoestring fries and a Steak and Shake shake, then I would do the Kevin classic of you take the two things, dump them together, mix
on
it.
The plate.
You're still doing that?
You didn't grow out of that?
Oh my goodness. That
was... I never grow up.
I can't get that out of my mind. Okay, so I will give Alex some props on the curly, because as we all know, Arby's has curly fries.
Yep.
Yes.
And from a shape standpoint, they're really not very efficient, but they do taste good.
They do taste very good.
They do taste good. The problem is, but it's not due to the shape. So I can't give it points for that.
Right. But name me a curly fry that's not a Arby's curly fry.
I'm sure they're out there. I don't know what they are.
Right. So when I say it's a superior shape, because that's the flavor that I'm going for, and that's the superior fry.
Lucas, we had them at Rixie's, didn't we? You could get a curly fry.
At one point in time, maybe.
Yeah. We always had the big thick cut steak fries.
Yeah,
steak fries. And then the sweet potato fries were waffle sweet potato fries. Right. Those were good. You dip those in some green onion sauce. Mm.
Now, like a well-done steak fry is great, but the problem is you can get a steak fry wrong so many ways.
Well, what's the difference between a steak fry and a cottage fry?
What's a cottage fry?
Okay.
It's cut in the shape of a cottage.
I guess I am older than I thought.
If you build a house out of tater tots, that's a cottage fry.
Which not waffles, college.
You can take waffle
cottage.
Fries and build them
cottage,
into
like
a cottage
a house.
Fry.
Cottage.
I feel like your shoestring could be your like thatched roof.
Yep. And then you can do some curly fries as your chimney.
You could have waffle fries as the window panes.
Mashed potato is like your spackle in between, you know?
I'm sorry, I said anything.
And then you use your tater tots as your people when you play with it.
You have a little sweet potato garden out in the back.
Okay, so you that are so adamant about these waffle fries being the superior shape, which I think is the only reason this question was in here, so you guys could, you know, joyously tell us about waffle fries. What makes a waffle fry so good? And if it can't be from Chick-fil-A, is it the same?
I was looking up cottage fries, so I missed this entire question. Can you please repeat it?
I was making fun of the question and the people that posed it and answered it with waffle fries.
Waffle fries? I enjoy waffle fries. Maybe it's just that's my current fave. Like, I may change between different things, but right now, waffle fries I've really enjoyed. I think because there's more surface area for crispiness. So, like, with all the nooks and crannies, you can get a lot of crisp on a waffle fry, which I like. And then also, it picks up ketchup extraordinarily well.
So let me ask this question, and I would play the provocateur role for a moment. Is a waffle fry truly a French fry? Because it says, what's the superior French fry shape? It doesn't look like a French fry to me, but that's I'm not sure.
May I have to play this back and find out if the question was posed superior fry shape or superior French fry shape?
Well, I wrote it down as French fry shape, so I would hope that's what I said, but...
It is.
We'll see.
Might not be what I heard.
It might not be what you heard.
Jameson, look it up for us. So going back to cottage fries, this appears to be potato rounds. It's like a potato sliced up into thin, well, not as thin as a potato chip, but kind of like chunky strips. Mm. And so it's like a round shape.
So like a little like potato dollar?
Yeah, like a potato dollar.
So kind of like a scalloped potatoes, but thicker?
Like a thicker scalloped potato.
Interesting.
Dad, is that what you were envisioning?
Was okay, and then the other one was we're a talking circle? About the steak fries are the wedgies, right?
Oh, no, yeah, wedges are their own thing. A steak fry is more akin to a wedge.
That's what I just said.
In that it's
but it's technically thicker. Not a wedge.
Yeah,
it's not as thick as a wedge,
and it's made up of like pureed potato, and then they shape it into a steak fry. Right. A wedge is typically a potato that's cut into a wedge.
Oh, so the skin what's on the it? Name for the one that has potato skin on the backside, and then you know, a wedge shape to it.
Potato wedge.
That's a potato wedge.
It's just called a wedge?
Yep. Potato wedges.
Yeah. A steak fry is just a French fry.
This is more of a steak fry.
Oh, yeah. I know. Okay. Yeah. You can't see the picture, but I am, so I got that.
For those of you that are listening and don't know what picture was just shown, it's a picture of steak fries.
It was a picture of a steak fry.
Google exists. You can look it up.
Picture a steak fry in your head, and that's what it looks like.
Unless you're picturing it wrong, in which case, don't do that.
Do your thing again, where the moon looks like a carrot.
Oh, yes. Sometimes the moon looks like a carrot if you hold a carrot up and look at that instead.
Yeah, that one.
This is an aspen. You can tell because of how it is. Neat.
You had mentioned tater tots.
He did.
Yes. So why is tater tots a superior form?
Oh,
you can put them in your pocket.
Well, I think it's Napoleon Dynamite.
My mind did not go Napoleon Dynamite, but I love the McDonald's hash brown. Like the hash brown.
That's not a tater tot.
That's a big tater tot.
Wait, let him go. Let's see what's
You've got. You can get very, very, very crispy exterior if you would like to, and I do like to, but the inside is that like nice minced potato, much like a McDonald's hash brown.
Truthfully, I do like a nice tot.
I do like a nice tot, but it's not a French fry.
He was being provocateur.
Yeah, I've provoked you.
Okay. I think we've gone well out of the realm of French fries. We're now even questioning what a fry is.
Okay, but...
questions science can't answer.
Have you ever had the McDonald's hash browns extra crispy?
No.
What's that mean?
You ask for them extra crispy, and they fry it a second time.
You can customize food at McDonald's?
You can't do it in the app, which is... terrible because I would want all of them that way. But if you go through the drive-thru and you say, I want hash browns extra crispy, they dunk it twice and it is extra crispy.
You need to talk to the glazy-eyed high school student to get
it's
amazing.
Speaking of McDonald's, they have those kiosks now where you can walk in and just put your order in and you don't have to go up to the counter.
Which Steak and Shake also does.
Which
now.
Is you're okay.
You're supposed to go up the counter because then they just point you to the kiosk.
But if you want to do something out of the ordinary, the kiosk, it can be limiting. Now, I understand that, like, if you get a filet of fish, you get, you know, take off the cheese or put extra tartar sauce on. But there's certain things you can't do. And there's a hack that I sometimes do. Cannot do it at the kiosk.
Tricky.
So I have to wait for someone to wait on me the old school way.
Is this where you want something additional to a food you're making or subtraction?
It's both and.
Adding something to another thing.
Okay. I'll give you the hack. If you get a double cheeseburger, take off the ketchup, take off the mustard, add McDonald's sauce and lettuce. It's like a Big Mac for like half the price. Mm. And all you're missing is that middle bun. Mm-hmm. But it's like, so what? It's like, I'm not going to pay $2 for that piece of bun. And it tastes just like a Big Mac. Because literally it is.
The more that does make sense. Know.
I need to try that out sometime.
But then
I have to talk to a person. Is it worth talking to a person, though?
For me, I mean, it was because I like the taste of it, and I could save money. I could put that money toward an ice cream thing, but the ice cream machine's always broken.
It's always broken.
Yeah.
You save that money to your go to Steak and Shake and get shoestring fries
fun. Exactly.
So to address the elephant in the room again.
Oh, elephant again.
You are wearing a gray shirt.
So. He is wearing a gray shirt. What I was going to say was to put the tiger on the table.
Wait. Just before you do that, if someone listens to the podcast prior to this one,
yes.
I'm wearing a gray shirt. Now I'm wearing a gray shirt again. People think I never take a t-shirt off.
Maybe you just have a lot of gray shirts.
We don't have any evidence that you take the gray shirt off.
This is literally the same day. So don't. It's like, doesn't that guy ever change his shirt?
Behind the magic.
Behind the magic.
That was just to take care of my insecurity. Now back up to you.
So Dad is joining us on the podcast today in honor of his 70th birthday. It is the year 2025. And he turned 70 a couple weeks ago.
If I may interrupt one more time, the last podcast you guys did was 2023, like September. Mm-hmm. And now we are in June of 2025. I feel bad for 2024. It's like the forgotten year.
You know what happened in 2024?
I don't know. Busyness.
The
children.
Don't say COVID.
No, the house that we used to go to for podcasts had a newborn child.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, and so it, there you go.
We took a little hiatus.
Mixed everything up. But here in the year 2025, Dad turned 70. So I have a little trivia from 70 years ago, 1955. As you can imagine, things were a little different.
Slightly.
Just slightly.
What was the,
how much is a loaf of bread?
I'm about to ask you a question that probably is in your quiz. What was inflation rate in 1955?
That may or may not be in the quiz. We'll have to get there.
Okay.
So this is a multiple choice quiz. It's only 5 questions. We'll go around, get everyone's answer, and tally up our scores at the end. Kevin has been a faithful scorekeeper.
If I may interrupt one more time.
I live to serve.
If you have got the quiz, don't you technically already know the answers?
I will not provide an answer.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I only put down 4 columns here because I figured a 5th would not be guessing.
I was going, he could do really good.
I finally found something I can be good at and they take it away from me.
Okay. Go ahead.
Question.
Yes.
Are we going to have order of swagnitude levels if we just have to get close enough to the right answer?
It is a multiple choice. So there is 1 correct answer out of 4 possible answers.
So no.
Well, I'm going to debate that.
There may be 2 correct
answers. And if you question my research methods, I'll just tell you it all came from ChatGPT. No, it didn't. So question number 1. And we can go, maybe we'll go around the table clockwise.
Surely.
In 1955... what restaurant opened its first franchise?
Big Boy.
In.
Am I right?
Des Plaines, Illinois. Or I looked up different pronunciations.
Des Plaines.
Des Plaines. Apparently, people from Chicago call it Des Plaines.
Sure.
Really? Your options: McDonald's.
55.
Burger King. Steak and Shake, already a popular topic on this episode. Old Country Buffet. Opened their first franchise in 1955.
It wasn't Big Boy?
Big Boy is not on the list.
Okay. And Des Plaines? Illinois?
Illinois.
I don't know. No. I'm talking through it. I think McDonald's was California. I think. I don't know if it is or not. Burger King, I don't know where that was. Steak and Shake? Yeah. What was the 4th one?
The 4th one was Old Country Buffet.
Old Country Buffet.
Oof. Old has ring to it.
I'm gonna sit on Steak and Shake. That's what I'm going to go with.
C, Steak and Shake.
Okay. Hold on. Let me write down C instead of 3. That would make more sense, wouldn't it? One moment. Okay. So I don't think it's McDonald's because I think that was California. There was a documentary about this that I haven't seen.
West.
I feel like there's like 3 burger places and then Old Country Buffet,
mm-hmm.
which is to lead you to thinking that it's Old Country Buffet. Because like, oh, that's the outlier. I'm like, no, it's not that. McDonald's is the obvious choice. What were the other 2 choices?
Burger King, Steak and Shake.
Okay. I kind of get that maybe Steak and Shake is older than 55. So I feel like Steak and Shake is the one that makes sense. So I'm going to go with Burger King.
So that we all have a different answer.
Everybody has a different answer.
So there's your new variant. Don't you realize that you are playing him as the game maker, but he knows that you are a game guesser.
Yes.
And so isn't he going to change his game maker knowing that you're going to be the game guesser trying to figure out his game makerness?
Or I just circumvent this whole loop by just cutting right through it with stupidity.
I thought you'd say you cut through it by having your wife do the... answers for you, so that way
putting a total of about 10 minutes of research into these 5 questions.
Well, I think we need an answer.
We have everybody in.
The answer A, McDonald's.
Oh.
What?
I think this, so I haven't seen this documentary that apparently is out there. I think the sticking point we're getting to is it is its first franchise location. So this was.
Oh, so not first location, not first but, location first franchise, but the first franchise.
Okay. Outside of wherever the OG one, which maybe it's California. I don't know. I have a little fun factoid about each of these questions. Fun factoid, on opening day at this McDonald's in Illinois, hamburgers cost 15 cents and French fries were 10 cents.
Breaking the bank.
Question two. In 1955.
By the way, just again to interrupt one more time, which I'll do a lot. It used to be you could go to McDonald's and get a meal and change back with your dollar. That's the way they would advertise.
That was their marketing.
That was their marketing. You get change back from your dollar. And I think you go away with a burger, a fries, and a drink. And maybe it might have even been two burgers, fries, and a drink. I don't remember. But change back from your dollar.
And then that evolves to the dollar menu, which now is no longer the dollar menu.
And now it's a value menu. It could be more than a dollar.
And it used to be, even recently, you could get any of their soft drinks during the summer for a dollar.
Yes.
No matter what size it was.
They kept that one going for a long time.
Yeah, that's no longer around anymore. Yeah. I can't find it.
Hmm. The cost of Coke syrup has gone up too high. Question two then. 1955, what was the average annual household income in the U.S.? All these questions are U.S.-based because we're very patriotic. We have $2,800, $10,200, $4,130, $26,000. Annual average income.
What would those numbers be now adjusted for inflation?
We'll get to that later.
So... are we going to take a different order this time? I think we should go with the
reverse order.
Reverse order.
Can I hear the answers again? I thought I was going last.
2,800, 10,200, 4,130, 26,000.
There was only 4,000 something.
4,130.
I'm going with that one.
That would be C.
And I'm going to go C. When in doubt, Charlie out. And I think it's pretty close.
Are we going the other way around the table then?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. Sure. So I'm trying to remember what the effective inflation rate of doubling is, and I want to say it's every 30 years, but that can't be right. If inflation is 2 or 3%, because it would compound a little bit faster than that, wouldn't it? I want to say. Wait, hold on. Is this average or is this median?
What's the difference?
Oh, no.
I think...
hold on. I need to... Where's a D4? okay, I'm going to go with 10,000 B.
I need some points. So I'm going to go with A, which is, the 2,000 range one.
2,800 was A.
I'm going to go with that one.
Great. The correct answer is C, $4,130.
That was what I was leaning towards.
But you needed points.
Everyone.
So in trying to get points, you got no points.
Yes.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics, so I did do a little research, today that equates to a buying power of just over $49,000. The average cost of a new home was $10,950. The average cost of a new car was $1,900, and a gallon of gas averaged 23 cents.
I remember buying gas, I think, for 49 cents when I was of driving age.
And did you pump it yourself?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Well, you had your choice.
Oh, okay. You could have it pumped for you.
You could pull into the station and have them pump it for you and get your windshield clean.
Were you expected to tip the attendant?
But I will say this. The gas pump had rotating numbers.
Instead of the...
Yeah.
So.
And it didn't play advertisements, did it?
There was no speaker.
Cheddar
no,
news.
A better time. I may be completely wrong here, but I think there's one gas station in the U.S. where they still pump your gas for you. It's a state, isn't it?
Is it
New Jersey?
I thought it was West Coast.
Oh, it's West Coast. Okay.
Oregon.
Okay.
Oregon, depending where you're from.
Have you been there and had gas pumped for you?
Yes.
What was it like?
Weird.
Asked and answered.
I was going to say, I feel like there is no universe in which Alexander is cool with that.
Don't you pump my gas.
And I can they would pump check my own your gas. Oil you and much. Your air pressure in your tires if you asked them to.
Impressive. Would they check for your free? Coolant levels? Because I could have used that a little while ago.
Was that an opportunity for them to then sell you stuff?
They didn't upsell a lot back then.
Huh.
It wasn't like, okay, now we're here. We're going to, you know, charge you something. For, no, it just was a service.
That's why they stopped doing it.
You know, nowadays you have to advertise. Advertisers, marketers have to always upsell.
Yep.
It wasn't a thing back then.
Question number three in our 55 quiz. According to usinflationcalculator.com, what was the averaged annual rate of inflation in 1955? 2.75%, negative 0.4%, negative 1.7%, or 0.5%, 0.5%.
What's there between B and C?
One is negative 0.4, the other is negative 1.7. We'll go back around this way. So two and a quarter, negative 0.4, negative 1.7, or positive 0.5.
If it was negative, it'd be called deflation.
Correct.
So the question was, what was the rate of inflation? So that already gets rid of two answers.
Well, so the website was usinflationcalculator.com.
So I'm going to go with D, 0.5%.
0.5% increase. Okay.
I'm going to go with A at 2.75 increase.
I truly don't know the answer, but I'm going to go with B like Bob.
Okay.
So I'm doing some study on this here. And I'm still not 100% sure I even understand what we're asking. Because I don't know much about inflation and deflation and what you're talking about. So I have an opportunity to go different because I think we have three different answers up on the board right now.
Correct. You could pick C and be a unique snowflake like the rest of us.
Uh-huh. And
or you could go with D, which is the right answer. So
still trying to play the game maker.
I mean, he did two negative numbers, so he's really stepping up his meta.
Yeah, which is why I think maybe it is a negative.
You sound a little bit like Matthew McConaughey. All right.
Absolutely. Put some chew in the corner of your mouth and you'll have it.
Because it is just a random guess.
Texas whistle. I'll make you a margarita. I'll blow your mind.
Take you to Bucky.
Have you ever had tuna salad to blow your mind?
Are you going to answer the question?
Well, I keep getting interrupted by Matthew McConaughey impersonations. There's things to do. Give me whatever answer wasn't already up on the board. So we know somebody gets it right.
It's C.
So that would be C at negative 1.7%.
Sure, I'm good with that.
Okay, the correct answer is B, negative 0.4%, which would be, yes, deflation. We have not had a negative inflation rate, so deflation, since 1955, according to usinflationcalculator.com.
It's because once I was born, the economy started picking up.
There you go. The cumulative rate of inflation, which I think, Kevin, you were doing... Is that kind of what you were trying to calculate earlier with the previous question?
Roughly, I believe so.
The cumulative rate of inflation between 1955 and 2025 is 1,099.5%, meaning an item that cost $1 in 1955 costs $11.99 today.
Right. That makes sense.
So if you want to do that math and go back and reverse engineer your previous question about income and what that would be in today's dollars...
Didn't you give us what the income would be in today's dollars, though?
No, you're correct. I did. But you could do the same for average cost of home and car and gas. That's and true. All that good stuff.
Or so cost of your McDonald's
for
hamburger.
A loaf of bread, it's like $5.65 or something like that.
Yeah.
Tracks.
Yeah. Except eggs, because those went crazy this year.
Eggs are a little bit of an anomaly right now, yeah.
Question number four. What vaccine was given full approval by the FDA, kicking off a nationwide inoculation plan? Was it A, measles, B, polio, C, smallpox, or D, influenza?
Ask the question again. Or what? Give me the I don't need the answers.
Measles?
No.
What vaccine was given full approval by the FDA, kicking off a nationwide inoculation plan?
Full approval.
Measles, polio, smallpox, or influenza?
Hmm. We're going opposite direction around the table this way, you know?
Hmm? Oh, I feel like maybe it shouldn't just be me or Jacob that has to start each time so that we can hear other people's
How about the person who was born in 55?
Maybe the person that probably was given this.
I need to read the answers one more time.
Measles, polio, smallpox, influenza.
I'm going to go with smallpox.
Which direction are we going? Okay, this direction again. Okay. Well, hold on. Let me write down the answer here. Smallpox, so that would be C, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with polio, B.
Is it my turn next? Oh. Measles, mumps, rubella, West Nile virus.
Jacob's playing his own game.
No. It was measles, polio.
Smallpox.
Influenza. Not influenza. That can't be it. No. FDA approval, which means they probably had it before then and just hadn't had approval yet. I'm going to go with polio, too.
It's hard to get approval for a vaccine that doesn't actually exist, so I would agree.
I would go with polio, same as Nimpolio Dynamite.
Okay, so for some reason, I feel like the polio vaccine would have been well before 55. For some reason in my head, I just think that. Don't know why.
Who invented the polio vaccine?
I'm trying to answer just one question right now. So if I eliminate polio, it makes it down to a one of three. Influenza, for some reason, I don't think it's influenza. So the other two were smallpox and measles.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I don't know really anything about either one of those because I don't think I've ever had either of one. Probably because the vaccines work.
And now, keep in mind, at this point in 1955, they already had a vaccine for big pox.
It's true.
Yeah.
What about medium pox?
Medium pox, they were still working on.
They're still working on medium pox.
All right, so I'm between measles and smallpox. I'm going to go with measles.
Be A.
Wait, I'm going to think about this for a minute.
You can't change your answer.
Why not?
Because you already gave it.
You went first.
I had to rethink it.
You were typing on your phone on everybody else's now answers. And then.
There was nothing in the rules that you couldn't.
I heard you. Look, every listener will have heard you typing on your phone. You can't hide this.
Wait a minute. First of all, you can't hear somebody typing on their phone.
You can if the tippy taps are turned on.
The haptic motor.
You can if the person who edits the podcast puts it in there before he says it.
Let's go find the clankiest typewriter sound I can.
Clink, 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 clink. I'll stay where I'm at.
Which was where?
It was C, smallpox.
C, smallpox. Okay. The answer is B, polio.
Polio. That's where I was going to go.
Polio. Interestingly enough, in my couple minutes of research, I believe smallpox was much earlier. I think that was in the 20s or 30s or something. Polio was 55.
Now, was it polio that caused FDR's paralysis?
Yes.
Because I thought that was like the big deal then because the polio vaccine came shortly after.
Well, I can tell you this. By 1957, just 2 years later, the annual number of polio cases in the U.S. was reduced from a peak of nearly 58,000 cases down to 5,600. By 1961, so 6 years later, only 161 cases were reported in the U.S.
Yep. Do you know who invented the polio vaccine?
I saw the name in my research. I don't remember it.
I think it's Jonas Salk.
That's correct.
Wait, you just said you don't remember it.
Once I heard it, it sounded familiar. Question number five, the final question. I don't have a tiebreaker, so y'all better not tie.
Well, good news. The game's already over.
Oh,
so
good. What $17 million project was completed and opened in California? That's 1955 dollars. A, the Golden Gate Bridge. B, Legoland, California.
In 55.
C, Disneyland. Or D, the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I will take Disneyland for 300, Alex.
You said 17 million?
17 schmeckeroles.
So the problem is that becomes like 200 million in today's dollars, which, like, you're not building the Golden Gate Bridge for 200 million, I don't feel.
In today's
In today's dollars. Or Legoland. Or Disneyland. So I feel like the answer is going to be the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So I'm going with
D.
I kind of like the bridge.
The only answer that immediately came to mind when you asked the question was the Golden Gate Bridge. So I'm going with that.
All right, we're locked in.
The answer is... Hold on. I need to... Can I get answers from...
Disneyland.
You said Disneyland, so that's C.
Okay.
And you said the bridge, correct?
The bridge was okay. A, and then another A over here,
okay, thank you.
Correct.
The correct answer is C, Disneyland. Today, Disneyland Park attracts nearly 18 million visitors per year. Took a little bit of a dip in 2020 for reasons unknown, but it's back up to like 16 million now.
Good for them.
Did you know that I could never remember, there's Disneyland and Disney mm-hmm. World. Mm-hmm. One's in California, one's in Florida. I could never remember which one was where, right? Until one day I saw someone had highlighted in Disneyland, in the word land, there's a L-A for like
Los Angeles.
And then in Disney World, there's a O-R-L in the word world.
Orlando.
For Orlando. Oh. I was like, oh.
For what it's worth, the Hollywood Walk of Fame, I think, was also completed or opened around the same time. I think it was like a year or two later. So that one was very close.
Okay.
How many stars have their stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
That I do not know.
I don't know either.
No clue.
Is Jonas Salk on there?
I don't know.
So are we ready for the totals then?
Hit me, Game Master. Who won the game?
Mom, if that's the question you're going to ask, then the answer is Dad. Dad won the game.
In the words of Sham Gerard, don't mess with a big dog.
What were the totals then?
Okay, so the totals were Dad at 3 points for getting the first three right, at which point...
And then I just played with you.
At that point, like, the only thing that could have happened is Alexander could have tied if he had won out and Dad lost out, which didn't happen, so... then it came Jacob at 2 for getting the last two right. So between Jacob and Dad, we have all the knowledge that we need.
Really?
That's true.
And then Alexander and I both got one each.
We call that pooled ignorance, right?
There you go. So for our next segment of the show today, we're going to throw out a question there for kind of open roundtable discussion. And the question is, what phrase or phrases did your father use growing up that you heard as a child that have stuck with you into adulthood? For me, I'll start. One phrase that we heard quite a bit that has stuck with me, and I still use it to this day, is it's better than a sharp stick in the eye. And it drives my wife nuts because she's like, why do you always have to make things in the negative? I'm like, well, it's better. It's, you know. Hey,
you're not
it's
wrong.
Better than that. It's not, I'm not wrong. She's like, we just make it better than nothing, right?
So on this particular question, I'm going to be the author of most of these.
Yes, okay. You will be.
Well, so far, guilty.
Some would say 80%
so
of them.
So maybe here's the question. Did that phrase come from somewhere else, or did you create that phrase?
I'm sure I heard it somewhere else.
Better than a sharp stick.
I didn't even realize that was a dad phrase. I thought that was just... A common
I haven't
phrase.
Heard it.
You've never heard
else.
Other people
I
use
I
it?
I thought that was just like an old person phrase.
The you know? the number of phrases that we grew up with that I've realized as I've gotten older that were really just us is astounding to me, actually. I was like, somebody's like, what's that term mean? Like, you've never heard that before? I'm like, no. Like, we're the same age. We grew up with the same like generation. Like, you've never heard that? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like, ah, another one for that category.
They didn't have your dad.
Exactly.
I suppose those of you who are married have a better understanding of this because you actually have like a spouse to bounce those phrases off of and learn.
Yeah, they're going, what is wrong with you guys?
That makes no sense. What are you on about?
Well, I think with the sharp stick in the eye, I was like, why is that even on the table? Like, well, it's better than this extreme. It's like, Right. Why are we at that extreme?
That That's one never the made point. Sense. How did we even consider that as a possibility of something that could occur to you?
Yes. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, I suppose anything's just about better than that. So
making my case.
So okay, so sharp stick in the eye is one for Jacob. For me, can't is not a word.
Oh, I love that one.
Can't
is not a word.
But you just used it in a sentence.
Okay, I thought it was. Right? I thought it was can't is not in our vocabulary.
The sentiment is the same.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Yes. There is. Yes. Yeah, because I have a daughter that says I can't a lot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to use that phrase or not. Because I don't think my wife would appreciate it.
Use it.
How do you feel about the effect that phrase has had on your life?
That is a topic for a much deeper episode.
Yeah, I know. We don't have time to get into that one today.
that's like a one-on-one conversation in a dark room.
So guilty twice now. Next.
Okay, but the question is can't is not a word. Is that one that you came up with? Like, I could see where maybe sharp stick in the eye was something that dad said or whatnot.
I think I may have done that one.
Okay.
Now, maybe somebody else has said it, but yeah, it was something I kind of remember making up.
Okay.
The way I use, I reframe the can't isn't a word in our household. If a child is frustrated by something and can't get something done, I say you can either ask for help or try again. That's what I use.
Mine seems much more direct.
It is much more direct.
It is much more direct. Much more
memorable. This is the millennial parenting. Right.
Good job, guys.
I'll take us in a more positive direction than sticks and can't.
Let me sit down.
One that I held on to and use at work and stuff is many hands make light work. That stuck with me. That was,
and again, that's not on my original.
Right.
But I probably did say it.
Isn't that scripture?
That's scripture.
Scripture?
Yeah, jargon. That's in Second Hesitations, I believe.
Oh. My favorite book of the Bible.
I've got another one, but I want to give other people options.
Oh, Kevin,
can you tell me what it is so that I can use it? Because I don't have one.
What? I did leave an impression.
So here's the problem. I actually have a saying or something that you told me that has stuck with me and it has a profound impact on my life. Well, the problem is, one, you only said it once.
That's okay.
Two, as Alexander alluded to, it had ripple effects on my life that this is not the time and place to get into
them. Negative impact.
Oh, no.
So
is it shareable?
It's not. The problem is I don't actually remember it word for word.
Well, give me the gist.
Is the gist shareable?
Because can you give the gist without getting into all the impact of it?
So the gist is your work is a reflection of who you are.
Oh, okay.
That's a good gist.
That's a good gist.
Yeah. Another one that I remember is when we watched Apollo 13 and they're trying to figure out options for the guys of what they got to configure together to save their lives. And the head guy at Mission Control spells out what they got to do. And he says, failure is not an option. I know that one you really liked because that one.
They stole it from me.
That one was more popular in our house after watching that movie.
Another one that I had was if it was the middle of January in Michigan and we had a cold snap, the correct temperature was it's colder than a well digger's knee.
There you go. Yes.
And I never really understood that one. I think it's because well diggers are down in the ground where it's cold or something. I don't know. But that was the phrase.
Yep. Or maybe you guys don't remember this one. Heavier than a dead preacher.
I have not heard
I do not know that one.
You can take that one home with you today.
We don't know what it means. Just use it for whatever I want.
Okay. If something was really heavy, it was 20 ounces to the pound.
Yes. Yes.
Ooh, it's been a minute since I heard that one. That's good.
Your middle of January one reminded me of winter's last hurrah when you have that like final snowstorm.
Or winter's last gasp.
Oh, winter's last hurrah is what sticks out in my head of like that last snowstorm in like April.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's winter's last hurrah.
Also, I believe you're the one who says March is a winter month.
In Michigan.
Yes. March is a winter month. So that was not true across the globe.
Into winter with that mindset. Then you don't get disappointed at the end of February when you think it's supposed to be spring. It's not.
True.
So. I guess the one that another one stuck with me is that we could always have snow usually until tax day, April 15th.
That's sort of my snow-free day is if you get to April 15, pretty much snow is in the rearview mirror. Now, granted, I know a couple years ago we had snow on May 1st. Very, very, very rare.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as long as we're talking about days, I mark the seasons based on things that bloom.
Yes, this is where I was going next.
You're going actually. Next. Yeah. Go ahead and share it.
Well, I only remember one of them, I think. So who can tell me the sign of when it's spring?
When's it officially spring?
When you see a robin.
Nope.
Nope.
It's something to do with the catalpa trees, right?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
Well, although you got a wrong season, but you're
wrong close. Season. Yeah. Okay. That's the autumn sign?
Can't be daffodils.
No? Okay.
Am I the only one that knows?
You might be the only one that knows.
It's when the forsythia bush blooms.
That's right. When the yellow forsythia that's sort of really spring. And until that happens, you're just playing around.
And then the catalpa tree is summer, but what is it, blooming, or is it the seed pods? Or
it's blooming. There's a white catalpa blossom that comes out usually early June, because it almost always blossoms about the time school we would let out, and that was sort of the start of summer.
I think our neighbor across the street has a catalpa tree that's blooming, like all the petals are falling off.
Yeah, they would be falling off by now. Yeah, so yeah.
So, Dad, did you have any phrases from your father growing up that...
Where do I start?
with one.
Now, you guys, prior to the starting of the podcast, remind me, I'll give this one takes a little setup. In our living room growing up, there was one recliner chair that was my dad's chair, okay? And it was exclusively his chair, but there were times, if he wasn't around, that one of us would sit in it. And we knew... without anything even being said, that if he came into the room, you got out of the chair. You weren't even, it was just understood. Well, if you didn't get out of the chair, you would get his hand smacked to the back of your head with the phrase, get out of mine chair. And which you eventually did, because a smack to the back of the head was a lot kinder than it could have been. So yes, get out of mine chair. And then, let's see if I can remember another. Oh, if all your friends were to jump off a cliff, would you jump off too? Because he was, okay, for all my dad's faults, there was a few things he did right. And one of them was instilling us to be independent thinkers. And so, that still has ramifications for me today. Sometimes it might get me into trouble, but it's still something I hold on to. Because I think it's a nugget. So I'm into that. There were some that he used to say that I probably don't want to put on the podcast.
That's fair.
Well, there were things like, okay, this, again, you have to understand it's a different time period in history. So things that would maybe not be allowed today or
maybe, or perhaps.
Kevin's got his finger on the censor button.
he would have been canceled.
This isn't really bad, but the oft times, rather than being called by your name, you're called by another word like goofy or gorp, or, you know, some kind of another name for who you were, because of usually something you did that wasn't maybe smart. Okay, first of all, you have to understand there were six of us. We all sat at a dining room table, but it was not a big dining room table. So inevitably, every once in a while, something would get spilt. Now, in my way of thinking, there's two things to get you in trouble. And nowadays, it should be like a rebellious attitude, where basically your parent says something and you just flat out rebel. But then there's also what I call childish irresponsibility, where you don't mean to do something, but by accident, you do it. And so one day, I was opening a bag of potato chips that were on the table. And as I pulled them apart, behind the chips, I knocked something over, and in going to see what I had knocked over, I pulled the chip bag back toward me, and event took my drink and knocked it over. So I got two for one on that day. And again, I think I got a smack in the back of the head for that. So it was like, and it wasn't ever thought of as abusive. It was just life, you know? And it's like, okay, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent that's not on the subject, but I'm just going to vent this because I can. This whole idea in society today where you can't ever lose, it's like, it's detrimental to the upbringing of children. I grew up playing competitive sports. Sometimes you won, sometimes you lost. The loss actually was, in some ways, more character building than the win. Because number one, you could assess what you did wrong, or you could try and double down on whatever skill you weren't proficient at, so that next time something came up, you could win. But if you're never told you're a loser, then why make the effort to ever get better? So I don't have any trouble with losing. You know, we just finished the Stanley Cup. There was a team that lost. We looked at it and said, they lost. Or a Super Bowl, somebody loses. Maybe we'll get someday to the Super Bowl where everyone's going to get a trophy for participation. I don't know. But that whole thing just doesn't resonate with me. But now I'm like that old man attitude. I get that. I'm an okay boomer right now. So But anyway, I digress. What other ones did he used to say? I'm sure there was a loaded one. So you guys kind of caught me off guard. If I went back to my brothers, we could probably come up with a list of them.
Oh, we could do a whole episode just of you and the brothers.
Oh boy, yeah. You know, and I don't regret my childhood, but there are parts of it that I wish I could do over. Mm. But you know, overall, I'm not complaining. I loved growing up in the late 60s, early 70s, all of the 60s and early 70s, because they had the best music ever. Okay, I realize that's a biased opinion, but I think once they hit disco, from then on, it was like, okay, things are going downhill quick.
We've never quite recovered from disco, have we?
I'm trying to temper what I'm about to say, because no, it's just never gotten better. Now, well, there are songs here and there between the mid-1970s and today that are good, but there's a lot of weeds you have to sort through to find the one good one. So that's just me.
In my research for the trivia, there was a lot about sort of the age of rock and roll and Elvis Presley and like all that, like golden era of music was a common theme in some of the pages I was on.
Yeah, it was a good time. Well, obviously the Vietnam War was a big, big deal. And so that wasn't so good. Although it did shape our society. And we talk about being polarized like we have in today's society. Mm-hmm. It was pretty polarizing. But to today's society, if you have liberals and conservatives that always disagree with each other, nobody's dying, you know? Mm-hmm. People died in the Vietnam War. And so this is why I don't play first-person shooter games, because life is not like that. You don't respawn in real life. You get shot, you die, you're dead forever. And so I just can't play first-person shooter games. I just refuse to. I just emotionally don't go there.
Good advice.
I had one more phrase that came to mind that we've been sitting here thinking about it. And you would often use this phrase when we were cutting something. And you used to say, I'm trying to remember the exact phrase, but it was, if you were building something, you would say, cut it twice and it's still too short.
That's true.
I run into that one a lot now in my line of work. And so it's like, oh, we cut it twice and it's still too short. It still doesn't reach where we needed it to. How'd that happen?
It's instead of like measure twice and cut once, it's cut twice and measure once.
Very much.